The story is told of a Russian emperor years ago who became fixated, obsessed with three questions. What is the most important time to do something? Who is the most important person to be doing this important thing with? What is the most important action to be done? He called in a variety of scholars and philosophers, put to them these questions. They could not answer them to his satisfaction. And so he decided he would travel to an esteemed holy man and put the questions to him. An entourage of soldiers accompanied him to this mountain. But they stepped back and allowed him to ascend the mountain alone, and not wishing to overwhelm this hermetic holy man, he changed into the clothes of a common person, a common laborer. He found the holy man, an aged man, trying to prepare a seed bed outside his mountain hut. The very man was very old, very feeble. So progress was slow, and the emperor said to him, "Sir, I have come to you to ask three questions. What is the most important time to do something? Who is the most important person to do it with? What is the most important action to be doing?" But the holy man ignored him and kept preparing the seed bed. Realizing that this man's progress was so slow, the emperor said, "Here, let me do that for you." And the hermit was very glad to hand over the hoe. And so the emperor is working. And after a couple of hours working, he says, "All right, I've done enough now. Can you answer my questions?" The hermit says, "I'm rested now. I can work." The emperor says, "That's all right. I'll just keep working." And he keeps working another hour or so and realizes it's late in the day. In exasperation, he turns to the hermit and says, "Okay, if you can't answer my questions, tell me that and allow me to go back down the mountain." The hermit said, "Listen, do you hear someone coming?" The emperor heard nothing, but suddenly a man came running into his presence, holding his stomach, his face in anguish. And the emperor managed to minister to the man and realized that he had a great wound in his stomach. He took off his own shirt to staunch the blood and then cleansed and re-cleansed until he finally was able to staunch the bleeding and to clean the wound. By then, it was night and it was cold. And he and the hermit carried the man inside the hut, and the emperor fell fast asleep. The next morning he awakened, and the wounded man was looking at him and said, "Forgive me, forgive me." "Why?" said the puzzled emperor. "What have you done?" And the man said, "You do not know me, but I know you. You executed my brother. You confiscated my property. And I swore, if it was the last thing I would do, I would assassinate you. I caught wind of your travel to this mountain, and I hid on the mountain, waiting for you to come down. But when you never came down, I went looking for you. One of your men recognized me and wounded me, but I escaped. And now, you have saved my life. If I live, I will be your servant the rest of my days." The emperor, amazed to have turned an enemy to a friend by so small a deed, reconciles to the man, promises to restore his property, and to forgive him of all transgressions. He goes out to find the hermit, still working in his seed bed, and says, "Now can you answer my questions?" And the hermit says, you already have your answers. Yesterday, had you not taken pity on me, had you not worked in my seed bed, you would have been assassinated coming down the mountain. So the most important time was the time you spent working in my seed bed. The most important person was me. The most important thing you could do was have compassion upon my weakness. Along came the wounded man. The most important time was to act immediately in response to his wound. He was the most important person to act with. And having compassion upon him was the most important thing you could have done. So these are your answers. The most important time is the time right in front of you. You don't have dominion over any other time but the present. The most important person is the person in need right in front of you. Who knows if you have opportunity to minister to another? The most important thing to be doing is to be acting in love with the person in need in front of you. These are your answers. The hermit's answers are rooted in the wisdom of our Lord, who says, don't be anxious. Don't live in anxiety and worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear and where you're going to live. How can you add one cubit to the span of your life through all of your worrying? The most important time is the time in front of you. It's the only time you have dominion over. Use it. And our rational minds reject that advice. We have to plan. We have to prepare for the future. Our Lord says to us, how much of our lives, how much energy is spent fretting about things we can do nothing about? Do not live in anxiety. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. Let your focus be upon the present. Live in the present. Jesus, who knows that his future is dark, as he gathers his friends around the table, nevertheless says to them, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. Do not be anxious. God will provide for you. By this meal, God symbolizes God will do whatever is necessary to bring communion with you. God will pay whatever price is required to establish redemption for you. This supper, this common meal, is God's signal to us, I will provide. I will provide. Do not live in anxiety. Relish, live in the present. The supper is our reminder. God has not abandoned us in any way. God will provide for us in our need. And because we can live with that anxiety, because we have that trust in God, the supper underscores, then we're free to live in the present. We're free to enjoy the moment. We're free to minister to the person in front of us who is in need. And we are freed to pour out our grace and our compassion and our love to transform the lives of others. It is our statement of gratitude for the promise of trust that God has given us in this meal. We come now to our Lord's table. And anyone who would claim Christ as Savior and Lord is invited to partake of this table, is a part of the family. It's not Dr. Krimmer's table. It's not even the table of Vineville Baptist Church. It is the table of Jesus Christ, vouchsafed to all who would claim Him as Lord. It is a table of promise and assurance and trust. And all are invited who would live under His name and follow His example to eat and drink. Paul says to his friends at Corinth, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body which is for you.' In the same way also, after the cup, after the supper, He pours the wine into the cup and says, 'This is My blood shed for the remission of your sins. As often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes.'"